Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Hangout here on Edmonton Sports Talk. You have 50% of the hacks are here tonight. The other 50% are missing in action. One's probably moving and the other one's probably feeding cows. I'd venture a guess.
Yep.
We got a good little show here for you tonight. As I mentioned, we are live here on EdmontonSportsTalk.com and on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/heavyhockey. Don't forget to like and subscribe while you are there. Tonight, we are going to talk about the Oilers, of course. We've got some around the league. Devin's got one guy he wants to talk about tonight. We'll see how that goes.
Who are you talking
and
about?
And if we get some time, we'll go into hot or not, if we get some time. Should we just jump right into the Oilers and start off
yeah.
there?
Yeah, did you watch the game last night?
No, I did not watch the game last night. I was at the gym instead of watching the game.
And you're telling me there wasn't a live broadcast at the gym, Bruce, while you were pumping some iron?
I was on a rower, but there was no TV. Well, actually, you know what? There was a TV in that room. I'm going to have to talk to Blaine and Robin about that.
Yeah, get on it.
That's going to be a must because he's a big Oilers fan, too. We're going to have to talk about that.
Well, yeah, and that's a business expense, right? You got to exactly. Do these things. Yeah. You know what? Pretty funny for them to go up 3-1 and then squander that lead. I saw some shade being thrown at Jack Michaels for talking about potential game-winning goals after they were up 3-1 and 3-2, and then of course the Jets would score in short order in as much an Oilers fashion as possible. There's some shade thrown at Skinner too. Just if you looked at the box scores, I guess it didn't look great, but there was at least two goals I don't think he had any chance on. One in particular was that Sean Monahan goal where he tipped that puck in front and not much you can do there. So,
my fantasy team was very happy about that goal, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. there's a couple fights, right? There was Corey Perry and Darnell Nurse had a little scrap there, so that was interesting.
With each other?
Not with each other, no, just separately. Separately, of course. It was an entertaining enough hockey game. And then, you know what? After everything that was discussed online yesterday, Bruce, for Zach Hyman to go and score his 51st as the OT winner just felt like an extra special FU. So I loved it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Zach Hyman was out there. His privilege was on full display.
Yeah, we'll talk about that guy later, but yeah, I have nothing but love for Hyman. I just love the way he plays. Like he says, he doesn't have the talent like Connor, but you know what? He has tons of talent because he can play with a guy like Connor, and not everybody can do that.
No. We've seen this with Sidney Crosby too, going back, right? Takes a specific type of player to keep up with those guys, right? Not everybody can do it.
The only other guy, well, besides Draisaitl, really, that's been on Connor's hip pocket, the only other guy that's done really well playing with Connor is Patrick Maroon.
Yeah.
He put up almost, was it almost 30 that one year?
Yeah, just shy maybe. But yeah, right around 30 goals that one season.
Like you said, he knows what Connor is going to do. He just has to get himself open in front of the net, and it just comes to him. It doesn't sound that hard when they talk about it, but I'm willing to bet it's a lot tougher than it looks.
It's a hard area to go to, and I think that's partially what made Pat Maroon successful was his ability to just go to the net and plant his butt there, and he's hard to move, and just clean up the garbage, right? And so that was
exactly.
That was interesting. Yeah, not everybody can do it. So I just full credit to Zach Hyman, who's had an incredible season. He's just been a seamless fit here for the Edmonton Oilers since he joined the team. And
absolutely.
He did have success in Toronto too, right? And
yeah,
not play everybody can play Matthews. With Austin Matthews, right? Not everybody
but the
can
thing
play
is, Austin
Marner.
Matthews is a shooter.
Yeah.
So that's tough for him. So I don't know if he would have been able to put up, maybe with Marner, maybe?
Yeah, hard to say.
But yeah. Because Connor is more of a pass-first guy. At least he has been this year anyway.
For sure this year he has been.
And Hyman has been soaking everything up.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. No, he's been great. I love Zach Hyman. I don't think anyone's ever said a bad thing about the guy. There's just been lots of really positive stories about him. And you know what? Damn it, Bruce, hard work does matter.
Absolutely. It just shows you. Watch the guy play. Like,
yeah.
I get tired watching him.
No, he's got a big motor, right? He just yeah. goes, and it's noticeable. And it makes an impression on the rest of his teammates.
Yeah. He's not afraid to go into anywhere and get a puck. Like, nowhere he is afraid to go into. He just goes.
Well, and if Tyler were here, he'd remind us, he's talked about that lots, right? It's you need someone like that who's going to be quick on pucks and can, you know, work down low in the offensive zone and get Connor pucks when he needs to and vice versa. And
yeah, they've got another guy that's done a pretty good job with that throughout his career too. They're playing, see, on the third line last night or the fourth line, Corey Perry.
Yeah. I liked his comment. He said, welcome to the club, 50 goal club.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I think we should give some credit to Corey Perry too, because he's just been a really nice addition, depth addition for the Edmonton Oilers. And just he's just been saying and doing all the right things, standing up for teammates. He's checking his ego at the door, as he said.
He just wants to play. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
At this point, it's obviously he'd like to win another Stanley Cup, obviously, but like at this point in his career, he's happy. He just wants to go out and play for his teammates and stuff. And that shows.
Oh yeah. It's funny. It's all about perspective as fans. Hey, like we hated Kevin Bieksa, right? Going back 10 years ago. hated Corey Perry, you know, and it's just like, but these guys, when they're on your team, they just go and they've got all heart and they like just, it's yeah. Their teammates around them love them and you can see why.
Yeah. They're players. When you play against them, you hate them, but when they're on your team, you love them because they are that type of a player.
Yeah. You know, Bruce, that win was actually a pretty big one, I think, for the Edmonton Oilers. Put them up to, with it, 90 points now?
I have the standings right here. They are up to, yes. Yeah, they are. Yeah, so they are 4 points behind the Jets in the overall standings and 8 points behind the Canucks.
Yeah, with two games in hand. So it still kind of puts them within range of the Vancouver Canucks and gives them a little bit of room because they've got LA at 87 points and Vegas at 86.
LA is coming up quickly.
Yeah, and they play tomorrow, Edmonton and LA. So that should be an interesting game.
Should be a good game.
And that's a big one. That's a big one. If Edmonton...
I'll be home by then.
But if Edmonton can win that game, right, it gives them some more breathing room. Otherwise,
like a four-point game almost.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, it's their 1 point difference. Like it's huge. It's a big game for them. So they got to win that one. They could fall. Like at this point, the chances of missing the playoffs are minimal. I think
they'd have to really fall apart to miss the playoffs right now.
Money Puck had them at 99.92% or something to make the playoffs. So they're right there. It'd be an absolute disaster at this point. Like it just is not going to happen. But
it'd be solid team time if that happened.
No, at this point, it's just about position, right? Playoff position. Who do you play in the first round? And we talked about this, I think, last week. I think the Oilers would like things to play out the way they sit now, where they get the LA Kings in the first round. Because if they do leapfrog Vancouver, they're looking at Vegas in the first round, which I don't think they really want.
No, I don't think anybody wants Vegas. Too early in the playoffs.
No. And Nashville. How about Nashville? I think that was one thing you want to talk about tonight too, Bruce, was the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, we got that one a little farther down here too tonight, I think. Yeah, as they've been playing really well too.
Before we move on to the Nashville Predators, is there anything else you want to talk about the Edmonton Oilers? They get a big win.
We got a big win. I think we covered the... I think last night's win covered up the disaster of the weekend where they totally fell apart on the East Coast.
And credit to Nugent Hopkins as well, who scored last night and got off the Schneid. Yeah, he'd been there for a while. And actually, speaking of Nugent Hopkins, how brutal was that call? I guess you didn't see the game, but
I didn't see it.
He got called for high sticking, and they watched the replay about 18 times on the live broadcast, and it's very obvious that it wasn't Nugent Hopkins' stick. So I don't know. There was some pretty funny commentary on Twitter this morning.
That was DeMello, right, that did it?
I think so.
So it was, Something about, yeah, Nugent's penalty, and it wasn't the penalty, it was friendly fire.
Oh, it's absolutely friendly fire, but it was just funny because they have different colored tape, and I can't remember if it was, like someone said, the it's literally black and white, the difference. Like, it's very obvious that. So, anyway, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, Bob the goalie. Hey, Bob, if you're watching, thanks for tuning in, man. Yeah, possible round one preview tomorrow night, Thursday, LA and Edmonton. So, and it's going to play like a playoff game.
Oh, absolutely. Will, it's
right.
Yeah, I actually need Talbot to win that game.
No, you do not, Bruce. You do not.
My fantasy team needs it because I am in tough this week. I am playing the eighth place guy that's won five games all season, and I'm ahead by 0.8. It's not pretty.
Well, I'm down too, Bruce. But you know what? At this point in the season, we don't care about fantasy. We just want the Oilers to win. Come on, Bruce.
My other fantasy team is getting shelled out of the arena too. Chandel is taking it to me this week.
Oh yeah, she's been having a good season.
Yes. Yeah, she had a rough start, but she had a very good run. Having a very good run here at the end.
All right, Bruce, what do you think? Should we move on to around the league here? Because we got a few things we want to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we want to get this first idiot stick out of the way. Dear God, like.
Well, give me your take, Bruce. Andrew Berkshire, I think it's probably it's really interesting just because I don't think I've ever seen on Twitter before everybody agree and everybody have the same opinion.
It's been amazing. Yeah, I purposely didn't watch the video because I read all the stuff. I'm like, oh dear God, I don't want to listen to this. And then this morning I listened to it and I'm like, there was a reason why I didn't want to listen to it because, yeah, the guy is just, ugh. And then he did a follow-up video to it that was twice as long and made it even worse. And it's like, dude, like.
Yeah, we're talking about two separate, completely separate issues, right? I mean, yes, yeah. Everyone understands that hockey is getting more and more expensive, and it's a game that's hard to play in Canada because not everybody can afford the ice time and the fees and the equipment and everything else.
Exactly.
But that's a completely separate issue. Argument. Like, why are we talking about Zach Hyman and his 50 goal season, and then talking about hockey and who has the ability to pay for this and that and the next thing? Two don't matter, and it's just an awful, awful take. And yeah. I look at this and I go, as a parent, it's really frustrating because I'm trying to teach my kids that hard work does matter. And if you listen to Andrew Berkshire, in his opinion, it doesn't, because all that matters are the opportunities you get and then you work hard. Well, no, I was raised that if you work hard, you're given opportunities, right? You have to prove yourself and your reputation matters. And when you do good things, as Zach Hyman said, good things will come to you because people trust your ability to get the job done. Yeah. So just an absolutely terrible take from Andrew Berkshire. I unfollowed him yesterday. I was like, this guy's an idiot. And I don't want to call people names. That's not what I'm about either, but brutal take.
Yeah. And then some people took it a different direction and it's like, no, I'm not. It just mute. That was done. Just right clicked and just muted his name and done. I don't want to see this anymore. I'm done with it.
But you know what? It's not just Andrew Berkshire either, because there's another guy who put out an equally stupid video talking about ethical and unethical goals. And he's trying to downplay this accomplishment too. And he was a fan of an Eastern Conference team that shall remain nameless, but I'm sure you probably know who it is, Bruce. But it doesn't matter. 50 goals is 50 goals, and it doesn't matter if they're ethical or unethical, and it doesn't matter if Zach Hyman's parents make $1 billion a year. It's all irrelevant. The guy scored 50. You'll never take that away from him, and not everyone that played next to Connor McDavid is going to do that. So,
yeah. Look at someone did a comparison because Reinhardt and Hyman scored 50. Reached 50 on the same night. When you look at their score, like where they scored from the charts, they're very close. Reinhardt's another one that scores a lot of goals in close.
Yeah. Hyman's is comical though. It's like, I can't remember how many it was, but it was right in front of the crease, like 32 of them or something, right?
32 or 36.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. It was a lot of them.
It was literally, they're all like right there. It's like right outside the blue paint.
Some stranger. I don't know. I don't know what an ethical goal is. This is just some guy on the internet thought it was a good idea to post a video about ethical and unethical goals. So I think his point was just to discount as many of Zach Hyman's goals as possible, which obviously we don't agree with. But so anyway, congratulations to Zach Hyman. I hope he scores 60 this year just to rub it in the face of every other doubter out there.
I would love to see it because, yeah, he look at. So I took a look after listening to that video.
Well said, Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. That's good. That's that you, sounds like something Andrew would do.
You go to Hyman's Wikipedia page and you look at all the stuff that he, all the different accomplishments and awards and stuff like that. It's like money doesn't buy that stuff.
No,
you have to work for that stuff.
100%. And you know what? I think it was there's a couple of people. I think it was Matthew Barnaby put one out too. Was just talking about like, yeah, he had some opportunities, right? That not everybody's gonna have. And but that's life, man. It's not equal. Not everybody gets the same opportunities and not everybody has all the same money. It's just like that, get over it, right? It is what it is. And yeah, Barnaby was like fired up. He was using words I can't use right now, but
I watched the video too. I'm like, oh boy. But yeah, it's, you said it's polarized everybody, and I haven't seen anybody coming out on his side. It's all been on Hyman's side.
Yeah. But, and I didn't see the second video initially, Bruce. So the fact that you had mentioned it, I said, wow, he really did double down and he was trying to like, it just,
it's just dumb.
It was bad. It was bad. It's so bad. Anyway, I'm done with Andrew Berkshire. We have to give him no more time in my mind. Anything else you want to say, Bruce, before we move on from that?
No, I'm done with him.
All right.
Absolutely done with him.
You want to talk about the Washington Capitals?
Yeah. So I put this on here because I don't know, this whole season is kind of like, do I want to have more Capitals on my team other than Ovechkin? And yes and no, and yes and no. And here they're making a run. They have, where is their thing here? Oh, I'm going the wrong direction. That's why. Washington Capitals have won 3 in a row now. So they are in the second wild card spot as of tonight. Let me just double check that. Mm-hmm.
Yep, 81 points.
Yeah, second wild card spot. Minus 26 goal differential.
Yeah.
Like,
sticks out like a sore thumb, hey, when you look at the standings.
It does. Like, the only other one that's in the red in playoff teams is Philadelphia, and they're at -9.
Yeah, they are really defying the odds, especially based, on expectations heading into this season.
But their first part, they played well the first part of the season. Then there's a lull there where they were just terrible.
Yeah.
They were just terrible. And then they've pulled themselves out of it, and they've pulled themselves back into a playoff spot. Ovi scoring goals again, like they're going out of style, which is good.
Yeah, we'll talk about Ovi a little bit more on the show here.
My fantasy team needs that too.
I'm sure you're thrilled you held on to him. Yeah.
My fantasy team needs a lot of help right now.
Washington, actually, Bruce, they've won 7 of the last 10, so they've been really rolling right now, and Charlie Lindgren's a big part of that too. So for anyone out there looking for goaltender help in terms of fantasy hockey, Charlie Lindgren is, I believe, still widely available, and he's been helping them to win games. So
yes, I may need help, goalie help this week yet.
Now, to be honest, Bruce, I'm looking at the standings here. Detroit's just 2 points back of Washington, and I'm torn here because part of me really thinks the playoffs are better with Ovechkin in them. But I'd also really like to see Patrick Kane and the Detroit Red Wings finally make the playoffs. And like, I think that's a team, you go back 20 years, everybody loved when the Red Wings were in the playoffs, right? When those early 2000s teams, those rivalries with the Colorado Avalanche, and just, they're a lot of fun to watch, right? So, truthfully, I'm okay either way, if it's Detroit or Washington, but it's going to come right down to the wire here.
Well, they're going to probably have to go with someone other than Alex Lyon, because dear God, 0-9 in his last 9 starts.
Well, Bruce, we talked about Alex Lyon a couple weeks ago, and I said at the time it's been rough, and they've got a couple guys there that can take over starts, be it James Reimer or Huso. Like, they've got
Huso's still hurt,
but he's, you know, when he comes back, I mean, you got to think they're going to give him a chance if Lyon continues to play the way he has been.
That's like, he's totally just dropped off a cliff here.
Yeah,
he was playing so unfortunate. Well too.
Yeah, I had held him for half the season. He was kind of my third or fourth goalie on my fantasy roster. So
I had him for a while on one of my teams too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a rough one. And then let me just check the updated. Because when I wrote these notes, there was seven.
Sorry, Bruce. I'm just Bob chimed in here again. Isn't it odd the Caps allowed more goals than they score, but Lindgren is probably their MVP?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's an interesting situation, that's for sure.
He has stole games for them this year, definitely. I was looking, there was so, after tonight's action, there are seven teams within 3 points of President's Cup. So the Rangers are presently at 100 points, sorry. Dallas and Boston are at 99 because Boston lost to Tampa Bay today. Vancouver's at 98. Florida, Colorado, and Carolina are all at 97. And then Winnipeg's at 94. Like, these are all teams with all within striking distance of. So that's going to be an interesting to see how the rest of this plays out.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't think anyone's too concerned about the president actually winning the President's Trophy, but it's tight. And at this point, yeah, it's anyone's to win, right? I mean, Edmonton still has played the fewest, not that they're going to win the President's Trophy, but they're only at 70 games. Everybody else is at 72 games or higher.
Yeah.
So, and they're at 90 points as well. But
that's good. I may need Leon and Evander to score some goals in those two games to keep my fantasy team afloat.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about Evander? I think did we breeze over that?
We kind of breezed over it.
Well, let's talk about that now since you brought it up. Yeah, because I think it's worth talking about, right? Especially on Edmonton Sports Talk here. But 1 point in his last five games, one assist in his last five games, and has not scored in 17 games going back to February 19th. Yeah.
It's so, been a long time.
What do you think, Bruce? Like, is he's got two more years, right? He's got next year and the year after at 5.12. We've talked about this recently as well, but you know, do they look to move him this summer?
I think they do. If the playoffs don't go well, I think they do. The only problem is he's got a full no movement clause. He controls everything. He can pull a Ullmark and say, I don't want to go anywhere. And he doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yep. It's just, we've seen this movie before, right? So like, he just got scratched the other night. He didn't seem happy about it. No, he wasn't, right? He was visibly unhappy with
probably a good thing, though, but he did play on the top line last night with McDavid and Hyman, did he not?
Good question.
Because he had six shots on goal. I saw that. That was a nice.
He had chances. He did for sure. And I think someone had commented and said that was probably the best game he's played in quite some time. But I mean, they need more from him, right? He's on pace for 47 points, and he's hitting plenty. He's got 217 hits this year.
He was back on the third line by the end of the game last night.
If I'm looking at this. It's actually, Bruce, he's at a career best or close to a career best, 3.19 hits per game. So he's been tossing tons of hits around. But
I had also read somewhere right around Christmas time that he was dealing with some kind of an injury as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which could explain too why he's not as much engaged or looks disinterested. He may not be physically able to, too.
We have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. No, but at this point, like, if he's not going to produce and if he's causing friction in the locker room, I don't know that, but it's just he got scratched. And then you saw that argument, whatever he had with Leon on the bench the other night too. And it's like, is he starting to get on people's nerves? I don't know that. I hope it's all fine and it works out, right? Because he's actually been pretty good in Edmonton, but.
Yeah. That to me looked kind of like because he was on the power play right before that, was he not?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what the.
I think that was just.
It didn't look that bad, Bruce. I just haven't seen that level of like disagreement between Evander and anyone at this point. But yeah,
I think that was more of a matter of first time Evander's been on that unit for a while. And I think Draisaitl was just because there was probably some looks that they missed that they could have taken advantage of. And
just frustrations boiling over, right? Which is typical.
Because that game didn't go well for them. So
no. Okay, well, I don't want to hate on Evander here too much. Let's move on here. Let's talk about the Predators.
Yeah, so they are 8-0-2 in their last 10. They came from behind to beat the Golden Knights the other night.
The only way that could have been better, Bruce, is if they'd done it in regulation, and they failed to do that, but that's okay.
They still beat the Golden Knights. That's
That
makes me very happy. So that puts them, I think they are in the second wild card spot. First wild card spot. They are 4 points ahead of Vegas. Yay. Stay there. Be nice if St. Louis would get their act together.
Yeah, I was hopeful for a little bit there, Bruce. And then when they lost to Vegas the other night, it was like, okay, it's not going to happen. I was really hopeful that somebody could overtake Vegas for that second wild card spot, but it doesn't appear likely at this point.
Appear likely because they've had, because I know our good buddy Ryan there made the comment when we were putting him through his PSD there that he was getting mauled by Nashville players.
Yeah.
Forsberg, Yossi.
Was getting crushed in his one fantasy playoff. And
they're
pretty much the hottest team in the NHL right now, right? They're rolling, so.
Yeah, so if I punch in since the trade deadline, let's see what they look like. So, yeah, since the trade deadline, Forsberg's got 14 points. Yossi's got 11. Nyquist, 9. Jankowski's got 9. O'Reilly's got 6. Kiefer Sherwood's got 6. McDonough's got 6. Evangelista's got 4. That's some pretty nice.
No, they've been good. And they're 8-0-2, like you'd mentioned, and their 6-game win streak is actually the longest of any team in the NHL right now. So,
yeah. Saros is sporting a save percentage of .920. Lankinen played 2 games. He's sporting a .985 for those 2 games.
Yeah.
So you're getting great goaltending too. So yeah, that's, and they are, and they were selling. So it was,
yeah. There's talk that Saros was getting moved to all these contenders, and all of a sudden they look like a team that they're going to be really tough to beat in the first round.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a team I want to meet in the first round either.
No, not at all. How about Josh Doan, Bruce? That's another good story we can talk about.
Oh, I know. I sat here and I pondered, it's like, do I add him to, do I just put him on just because it's first game, dad's going to be there.
Yep.
And I should have did it and I didn't do it. I should have added him.
You missed out, Bruce, but what a story. Hey, like Shane Doan, like he was so pumped.
Somebody in his box, they showed a video of someone in his box there. Someone had their shirt off.
Oh yeah. Their tarps off in the box. They were loving it. It was hilarious, but
and they took it to Columbus too. 6-2, I think, when it was all said and done. It was.
And a couple of nice goals. Like for Doan, that one, he just batted right in the midair and showed some really nice hand-eye coordination there. Yeah. I know for me, just watching my kid score in soccer, right? It's like, I love that. So as a parent, you can only imagine how jacked Shane Doan was for his kid to score in his first NHL game. That was really cool.
Yeah, not only get one, but get two, right?
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
And then, too, like, as the Coyotes as a whole, right? Like on ice, it seems like you look at Doan, they've got Gunther, they've got Keller, they've got a lot of these young guys. Oh dear God, I forgot the name of the other young center they took in the draft last year.
Cooley?
Cooley, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they've got tons of young talent to like. I mean,
Vilmelka and Ingram, solid in net, seems.
Yeah.
Get the defense going. It could be very scary in a couple of years, even though the ownership and that arena thing is kind of a disaster. But
I think by the time they get that all sorted out, Bruce, this team's going to be competitive. Like by the time they have a new rink and things are settled down, I think they're going to be a very competitive team.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
Another crappy team you want to talk about, Bruce, was the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, we kind of missed the break, didn't we?
We're just going to blow through it, Bruce. We're going to try and wrap this up in an hour tonight. So, let's just
blaze right through it.
Yes. We got one more thing here for around the league, and then, we'll move on to hot and not. So,
did you Did you read the article from?
I did not. I canceled my athletic subscription, I think, at the end of last season.
So basically what the article is Aaron starts from when Columbus was started off as an expansion team and kind of followed their management, the drafts, teams, how things went throughout up until now. And holy crap, it's a train wreck. it's a train wreck. We always call our decade of darkness for Edmonton. Other than that series where they beat Tampa Bay in like four games, it's been all darkness for Columbus. It seems like it's only the time Torts was there seemed like they had a little bit of success. Other than that, it's just been one mess after another.
I have to think that's going to turn around here pretty soon. Like they don't have Jarmo Kekäläinen in there anymore running the show. So just having a new voice at the top, making some of those decisions. And then they've got some really good young talent.
They got Fantilli now.
Excuse me. Yeah, Fantilli, right? He's fantastic in the draft this last year. And
if Laine can come back and play next year, if Gaudreau can try and refine some form, they got Boone Jenner for another year. You look at that, those three Russian kids they had on that one line.
Yep.
That played well on it. Well, they're rookies, right? So they're going to be all over the place, but stretches where they played really, really well. Tarasov probably is their goaltender of the future. I don't know if Merzlikins will be there next year.
Yeah, based on the conversations that have been had.
Yeah. But just a couple of notes from the article here. So in the draft year, it was 2005. The Blue Jackets top scout wanted to take Anze Kopitar at pick number six. The GM was Doug McLean, overrode him, and they went with Gilbert Brulé.
Oh, no.
We all know how that turned out.
Doug McLean has talked about that a couple times because he used to do stuff for Sportsnet. And he's got an earful about that one ever since. There's some bad picks. That's a really bad one in recent memory.
And then they talk about like the contract issues with Dubois and all that other, it goes into all that. It's a very well, if you get the time to read it, it's a very well done article on everything. And it makes you feel for the people of Columbus because they've got an NHL team.
Yeah.
But outside those few years that Torts was there, they really don't have much of a team. They have an NHL team, but they're in the NHL, but it's, yeah.
Well, I think looking at a Bruce and just the little bit I've done in terms of like prospect research, they've got a good young prospect pool. And
yes,
there's lots of good things there. There's lots of good pieces. It's going to take time. But yeah, they're going to be bad for a while. They're going to collect more pieces. And hopefully with some new people at the top, they're going to eventually make some headway. But
I sure hope so. Because it was fun watching, especially that series when they took Tampa out. That building, that was amazing to watch.
One thing I kind of like about Columbus is they just seem to have a real workmanlike attitude. Right. Mm-hmm. That team, like, they're not a team that you'd expect to hang around. They've given Edmonton fits over the years, right? It doesn't really seem to matter who's behind the bench, but they're a pain in the butt to play against, right? So, and I like Boone Jenner. I really wish we could have made a trade for Boone Jenner instead of Adam Henrique, but anyway.
There was lots of teams that would have really liked to get their hands on Boone Jenner on their team.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's pretty much it for the around the league section. Let's move on to hot or not today.
we can take that off. Hot not. Let's talk about now we're kind of digging into more of the fantasy stuff here for anyone that's still rolling in their fantasy playoffs.
Yeah. So our first guy on here, Jordan Kyrou. He does not play for Winnipeg though. He plays for St. Louis. He's got 7 points, 4 goals, 3 assists in the last 3 games. Production is down. He's on pace for 65 points. Previous two seasons were 72 and 75 points. But he's been on a bit of a roll here lately.
Yeah, good to see. I think as the team has been better and they played really well, right? The second half of the season here. So that doesn't surprise me that he's playing well.
Yeah. They weren't expected to be basically a few points out of a wild card spot. I think a lot of people picked them to be down where San Jose and Chicago are.
Yeah. Well, that seems a little extreme maybe, but definitely not. Like, not I don't think playoffs were really, either. No, for sure. So,
and I think part of that is due to Binnington's had a solid season this year.
Surprisingly.
I didn't draft him this year, so that's why he did well. I'll draft him again next year.
Guaranteed.
It'll be total crap. That's how it'll go.
Just a sucker for punishment, eh, Bruce?
I still look, the three goalies I drafted at the beginning of the year for my fantasy team in ESPN are still on the waiver wire. That's how bad my goaltending picking is.
You were trying to go complete 0G. I get it.
Oh, yeah, and there was 2-0s, all right. Although Corpusello played well tonight.
You know, Robert Thomas, like they've, St. Louis has had some guys come out and have really good seasons. So Robert Thomas, obviously, first all-star appearance, I believe.
Yeah.
Jake Neighbors has been really solid for them. Who else has been playing well there?
Well, Buchnevich has, even though they tried like heck to get rid of him at the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another guy I would have loved to have seen Edmonton grab, but that's okay.
Yes.
Let's talk about Philip Kurashev out of Chicago. Who,
go for it.
Bruce, I didn't, you know, until we were doing the research here, I knew he was having a solid season, but 11 points, 4 goals in his last 7 games. And he's on pace for a career. I think he's around 60 points, or on pace for 60 points.
That's fantastic.
So he's looked great. He's getting tons of minutes. Playing next to Connor Bedard, obviously, is going to pay off for you. And I think one thing we should do, Bruce, we probably will do, is when we come back after our break in the summer, I'd like to kind of dig in, or maybe do this before we take our break, but I'd like to go through our projections from last summer, last fall, and see how some of those played out, because I know we had Kurashev and some of those guys in our projections.
Oh, absolutely.
And
we definitely should. We should do that before the break, I think.
I think it's one of those things. Yeah, no, I think you're
not, maybe
right.
Not before the break, but
before, I think before we take off for the summer, we can talk about that, right? But
probably could. Some of the best players and,
well, yeah. Some of them we're going to be way off on, and some of them we're going to be right there, right? So
yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So Kurashev, a guy to keep an eye on, and 8% rostered in Yahoo. So if you're still in fantasy playoff contention, looking for your championship, that's a guy that probably should be on your roster.
I am for a few more days.
Yeah, there you go.
And I do say only a few more days, because I have a feeling a first round flame out is coming.
You can't win them all, Bruce.
No, I can't. This next guy here, though, he's since the trade to Tampa, he has fit in seamlessly, Mr. Anthony Duclair. So I think, are these since he joined Tampa, or is it slightly before? Because he was on a bit of a roll before he got traded to.
He was. So the 14 points in 9 games, is that includes some time with the Sharks. But the 9 points and 5 goals, that's taken place over his last 7 games with Tampa.
He has fit in seamlessly there.
Yeah.
And pretty much killed Brandon Hagel's fantasy value, which I had. He was doing well, and then I didn't get on Duclair fast enough when I realized what happened, and by then it was too late. And Hagel has done very little since Duclair has joined the team, because Duclair took his spot on the top line and on the top power play unit.
You know, which is really strange to me, because they've got Duclair for, like, they just signed him. How long was that extension he got?
Duclair's contract?
No, Hagel.
Yeah, Hagel, like, just signed a nice big contract with him.
Yeah, so it's strange to me that you would, okay, well, hey, you know what? We've got this guy as a rental. We're just going to give you the role of this guy that we just paid a lot of money to, and he's going to be here for the next few years. It's strange to me they would do that, but maybe at this point they don't care, because it's just about making the playoffs. So
it's about winning, right? That's all Tampa's been about, is winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Hagel is, where did he go? That's Nick Paul. Brandon Hagel. So it's $6.5 million here for the next, till the end of, oh boy, that's a long one, till the end of 31-32. So
Yeah, you signed like a 7-year deal, right?
Yeah. And then Duclair signed for, he signed with $3 million, I think, at the, because I don't think there was any retention on that contract. There was no retention on that one. So, but you imagine if Tampa could sign Duclair for $3 million again for next season?
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to if they can fit him in.
You just look at some of the stuff they got. It's, they find ways to do this stuff, right? It's,
which again, Bruce, is why I was so disappointed with the Edmonton Oilers trade deadline. And it, at this point, it doesn't look very good.
We're used to disappointment. Oh,
good Lord. And I, somebody else was griping about Henrique today, and they just put out some of the stats, and it looks ugly. Like,
yeah,
by almost every metric you can evaluate, he has not been an effective acquisition for the Edmonton Oilers so far.
No, he is not really. He hasn't really fit in, or at least hasn't figured it out yet anyway. They've got a few games yet to figure it out, but they got to figure it out soon.
All right, let's not get negative here, Bruce. Let's talk about Alexander Ovechkin.
Let's, please, because that's another reason why my fantasy team is where it is right now in the playoffs. 9 points, 8 goals, and 1 assist in 5 games. He had just 8 goals in 39 games to start the season, 18 goals over the next 29, and a 51-goal pace over 82. So it's getting nice and a little bit closer to Gretzky's record there. I'd truly really like to see Ovi beat it. I really would.
I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, it's great. I mean, records are meant to be broken, right? So
yeah,
I think he probably will. He might be, if he keeps scoring the way he is, he's going to break it sooner than later. But there was a time there, it looked like he'd have to be 45 before he's going to break that record.
Well, at the beginning of the season, it looked like, dear God, he's not even going to get even close to it. But here in the second half, like lately, it's, he's firing on all cylinders again. If he can do that, that's, but yeah, if it's, it gets to the point where, again, it was like Ovi at the beginning of the season. It's like someone just put him out of his misery and just,
it looked bad. Yeah.
It did not look good at all.
Now, to be fair to Ovechkin, there's an argument to be made that he probably would have broken that record already had he not missed the number of games he's missed, you know, be it for labor negotiations, lockouts, COVID, whatever, right? Like, how many games has he not by his own hand missed and had opportunities to score more goals? So,
yeah,
you know, he's going to play, I think, for as long as he can until that record's broken, and then he'll probably just walk off the ice. But
yeah. He'll win. If he can beat the record inside his current contract, yeah, he'll just, I think after that, he'll, unless they are contending for another Stanley Cup, he'll just quietly retire, I think.
Which I don't think they're going to be at this point, right? Like they I think they'll be kind of where they are now, Bruce, right? They're just going to be hovering on the playoff bubble and trying to make it every year. But, again, Bob had some points here. He just said Tampa has to push because, yeah, they're fading as a... Absolutely, Bob, and their core is aging, and they're doing everything they can to try and win one more. I think it's unlikely at this point, but they're doing everything they can to make it happen, so that's great.
Yeah.
We like Jake DeBrusk. If you are a regular listener of the Hacks podcast, we've talked about him a few times throughout the year, but he's just on a roll right now. 10 points, 4 goals in his last 8 games played, and he's got a nice spot in that top six and on the second power play unit, Bruce. So one more guy, if you can get your hands on him for fantasy playoffs, probably not a terrible acquisition.
Did you drop him? I might have a chance then.
I did, Bruce, but I went and I think I picked up Kurashev. Well, I was looking at some of the matchups and schedule and stuff, and I just thought, you know what? I liked Kurashev playing like 20-some minutes a night as opposed to DeBrusk was playing like 16 to 18, somewhere in that range, right? And then getting first unit power play time with Bedard, too, was appealing. So,
absolutely. Oh,
our buddy Ryan says, more deals like Janot. Yeah, we got to give away all the draft picks for Tanner Janot.
Shane Pinto.
Actually, hey, Shane Pinto. Yeah, I was going to mention him. He had 4 points tonight, had a monster game.
Nice.
A goal and 3 assists. So, yes, Ryan, glad you're watching, buddy. You should have been on the show. I'm not sure what you're doing there.
He probably hasn't finished his therapy yet after the last show.
He's still in the fetal position, rocking back and forth, thinking about the Edmonton Oilers trade deadline.
Oh boy. Yikes. All right.
You talking about this next guy, Bruce, or what?
I'll let you, because you just picked this guy up.
I did. I just picked up Jonathan Drouin again. I had him at certain points throughout the year. Just it's a really interesting story, right? So the guy that was essentially left for dead. This was like last chance you, and all of us kind of said, yeah, like he's going to get that crack to play with, first crack to play with Nathan McKinnon, but is it going to stick? And for pretty much the entire season, Bruce, it's stuck. And he's gone through some lulls and stuff, but 12 points, 4 goals in his last 10 games. He was riding shotgun with McKinnon and Rantanen at even strength and on the power play on Tuesday night. He's got 4 games on the schedule next week. So if he's not rostered in your league and you're still playing, like he definitely has to be rostered. And that's why I picked him up, Bruce, because you don't want to get ahead of yourself. But if I do make it to next week, that's 4 games that I'll definitely need, right? So
I have to pray to hope I make it to next week.
It's not looking good for me either, but I mean, let's hope he gets productive here over the next couple games too. So
no, definitely. If my team was to make it anywhere in the playoffs, I need this next guy here to start producing again, and that's Noah Dobson. He's got no points in his last 5 games. I need Noah to find some points. Noah, find some points, please.
He's had a great season.
He's had a fantastic season.
Yeah, 65 points in 71 games. Like, he's just been outstanding for them.
Probably not going to pick him up in the 11th round of the draft next year.
No, Bruce, you're not
going to be there.
You're not getting that kind of value again. No chance.
not anymore. He's going to be up there with Bouchard next year.
Well, and it's funny because his shooting percentage is actually down relative to his career and his 3-year average. So he could have actually put up a few more goals this year. So I think some regression's coming here, Bruce, right? If he hasn't put any points up for a while.
Yeah.
Patrick Waugh broke Noah Dobson. Well, that could be the case.
I hope not. Well, it's okay. Someone's going to draft him really high next year, so I won't have to worry about it. So,
yeah, just 1 assist in his last 9 games. Hey, like
it's been
a little ugly. So let's hope that let's hope you're wrong, Ryan. But and just for the record, Ryan, you missed it, but we did talk about Nashville already. So yeah, there's something in the water there for sure. This next guy here, Bruce, Philip Roenick. As you know, I drafted, or not drafted him, I picked him up off waivers in a couple different leagues this year.
Yeah.
And no points in 9 games. It's been a, check the stats. He's dead. Okay. It's been a tale of 2 seasons for Philip Roenick this year. 36 points and 3 goals in his first 44 games. So he's playing at a 67-point pace, just 9 points and 2 goals in 28 games following a 26-point pace, which is awful considering how well Vancouver has still played for the most part. So, yeah, not good. So Philip Roenick, I mean, he's still 81% rostered in Yahoo and 90% in Fantrax, but at this point, I have very little hope for that guy at this point in the season. There are probably some other options available on the wire that could help you out.
Most definitely. If you check our waiver wire picks from Sunday's show, be a few there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
$8 million.
Yeah. Noah Dobson is he's no Evan Bouchard. That's for sure.
No, not yet anyway. Maybe soon. Charlie McAvoy had no points in 10 games before posting a goal and assist against the Panthers last night. The Bruins need him to put up some points because they lost to Tampa tonight 3-1.
Yeah, but Bruce, they're fine. I mean, they don't need centers either, right? They've got no centers, and they still got 99 points this year, so they're fine.
Yeah, it's true. Just give it to Pastrnak. He'll do it.
Yeah, 2 points in his last 12 games is just not good enough for Charlie McAvoy, that's for sure.
No, but I'm sure it's Boston. They'll figure it out. And like we said before, they're in league standings, they're what, third? So, yeah, they're third with 99 points. So the team itself isn't really hurting a whole lot that he's in this slump. But
Well, and if you're going to go through a slump, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
better now than in the playoffs.
Oh, very, very true. You don't want to slump in the playoffs. That is a fact. That is a fact. Next one on the list, Mason McTavish from the Anaheim Ducks. Well, let's put it this way. The Ducks suck. So that much as a...
yes, yes, they do.
No points in seven games, but then I think when you look at the cold list, I think there is probably a whole lot of Ducks on that team. Or on that. Yeah. So if I update the report and go to the cold list, it's, dear God, it's all of them. Strome, McTavish, team. Carlson, Zegras, Terry. Terry's four games, Zegras. Yeah, it's just ugly.
Which is too bad, because how many times, Bruce, have you gone to that well to take advantage of the schedule, right? They play so many games on off nights.
I know. It's like Terry and Zegras. Like, it's, I picked Zegras up exactly for that purpose, right? And this year has been a terrible year for him. He's been injured more than healthy.
Even Troy Terry. I mean, I think I drafted him in one league just thinking that, and I've never really been a big Troy Terry guy, but you know, I thought, okay, 37 goals 2 years ago, 23 even last year.
Yeah. He's put up some points, right?
You know, yeah, but now, I mean, his production's down again this year, and there's not really a whole lot to like there, to be honest. Yeah. So
even Vetrano, who their 30 goal scorer, he's got one goal in the past nine games.
Yeah.
Like, their whole offense has just dropped off a cliff.
For sure.
Moving on to Mr. Matty Beniers. So playing at just a 39-point pace following his Calder-winning campaign last season, in which he posted 58 points. Beniers did post a three-point performance last night, but now has 7 points in his last 11 games. So maybe all hope is not lost. They could really use some positive going into the end of the season. I think they were really hoping they could make the playoffs again this year.
Yep. I mean, and it is what it is, but he's, yeah. I think this is it's an opportunity. This is a guy that is actually putting up some points right now.
Just because I put him on the list, that's why he started scoring.
I think so, Bruce. Yeah.
It's like, most of this, I just went through my fantasy team. Yeah. He's not scoring.
They're all cold. They're all cold. It's brutal.
My whole team is just taking the week off. We're out. We'll be nice. Back. Oh, there is no hockey next week because we forgot to come this week. Whoops.
Good timing, Bruce. Good timing.
The last guy we got on the list here is Mr. Monahan. Until his goal last night, he had no points in three games, which, again, I put on here because he was part of my fantasy team, and my fantasy team is sucking.
Well, I don't think Sean Monahan's really been that bad, though, offensively. Like, I'm just looking at his numbers here.
No, he's been... So he had... Before this goal, he was dry here for 1, 2, 3 games. Then he had put up 2 assists prior to that and was fairly productive before that. There was just that dry spell in there. And like I said, he's on my fantasy team. He wasn't scoring, so I put him on the list.
Fair enough. But I think he's been a nice acquisition for Winnipeg. I mean,
he's definitely been a nice acquisition for them. Absolutely.
The price might have been a bit steep, but... I mean, he's playing big minutes on the power play. He's putting up points.
And Winnipeg wasn't afraid to pay it. That's the big thing. They weren't afraid.
No. So good for them. I mean, I think Monahan, I think getting Toffoli. Who did they bring in on defense? I can't remember who it was.
Oh, that's a good question.
Ryan, if you're still listening, help me out, buddy.
Winnipeg.
I can't remember. Doesn't matter.
Depth charts, player stats. Colin Miller.
Henry. Okay, here. Okay, Colin Miller. Henrik or Monahan, which team made a better trade? Okay, so for anyone watching or listening, make a comment. Yeah, well, for sure, it's Monahan. Ryan, you missed it again, but it's just one of those things we talked about, and Henrik has really done... Nothing of substance since being here, and I get it that there's an adjustment period and all that, like we talked about, but Monahan pretty much just kept rolling right from where he was all season to Winnipeg, and it's been fun to watch. So What a story Winnipeg's been this year, hey? To go from, do we blow it up? Do we not sign Hellebuck? Do we not sign Scheifele? Like, just to now being one of the best teams in the league this year. It's interesting.
Yeah, they are eighth overall in the league.
Crazy. Yeah, their top six looks pretty good. But it's funny, it's for as down as I was on Oilers trade deadline, and you look, they beat Winnipeg again last night. But I think Winnipeg is one of those teams that Edmonton mentally is like, they can take. For whatever reason, they really struggle with Vegas, right? And I think part of it's just a mental thing. Same with Colorado, right? Colorado's a great team, but it's just...
Well, the COVID year, I think it really did the Oilers in, right? Because in the regular season, they absolutely owned Winnipeg in that COVID year. Like every time they played Winnipeg, they shelled the heck out of that team and then get to the playoffs and they couldn't do a thing after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winnipeg had a rough road trip down east where they basically lost to everybody.
Well, that's just regression taking place, Bruce.
Yeah. Just...
But you know what, Hellebuck, I am just amazed by that guy. They showed his numbers on the screen. It's like a .235 and a .920 save percentage or something.
Yeah.
Just the most consistent goaltender in the entire league, I think.
And that's why he consistently, like, I was taking a look last night at our ESPN draft. He went in the third round.
Yeah. And that's who I should have taken, right? But I just was so down on Winnipeg. It was like, I'm not drafting Hellebuck this year. Like,
Hellebuck went third. Demko went in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Him and his knee. They might have to put him a bionic knee or something like that.
That was my concern with Demko going into the season. Like, I think we all know he's a great goaltender, but it's just he's had some trouble staying healthy, right? And that was just
Well, and I saw someone was comparing Boudreau's record to Tocchet's record. Mm-hmm. And they did it with Demko in the lineup and Demko out of the lineup. If you take Demko out of the lineup, the records are almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
You put Demko in, Tocchet's better because he had Demko longer.
He's a difference maker, right?
Yeah.
You need goaltending.
Yeah. Even now they say, like, with Demko being out, Vancouver hasn't beaten a playoff team in quite a while.
Yeah.
So Demko is that X factor for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Vancouver fares in the first round of the playoffs here. They're looking at Vegas in the first round.
Do they go? Oh, I guess I'm looking at the wrong one. I can never figure out how it shapes out when they do playoffs for one to the other, to the other, to the other.
Because the Central's ahead of them anyway. I don't know do they just play the top team or does it stay within division? I don't know how, I can't remember how that works, but.
Yeah, I don't either, because if you go just look at the, what is this, the conference standings? Yeah, the conference standings. If you go 1-8, Dallas would play Vegas. Vancouver would play the Kings. Colorado would play Nashville. And we'd get the Jets. If it went strictly by conference standings. But I don't think it works that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. No, it does not.
So I think it stays within division first round, and then it goes to conference after that. Does it not? Isn't that how...
I'd have to look it up. If someone is listening that knows, let me know. But I think that's why I'm saying, I think they get Vegas first, but.
And that would scare me a little bit.
Yeah. If I'm Vancouver, I don't really want to play Vegas in the first round.
I don't think anybody wants to play Vegas in the first round, especially when you see Stone and Hurdle in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Hey Bruce, we're about to blow past our hour mark here too, but, so we should probably wrap this up. Anything else we want to talk about here? I think we covered our hot knot, and that was kind of it for...
That was kind of it, yeah.
For a plan discussion.
Yeah, and then a little add-on discussion after that. 130 mil cap versus the Canucks. Yeah, that's about it, right? Go Vegas.
Van gets it. Yeah, that's, yeah. Now, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I assume that was the case. So that's a tough one, but.
If Vancouver can get Demko back before the playoffs start, that'll be a hell of a series.
They need him. They'll need him.
I'm not sure. Well, DeSmith did relatively well for the Penguins when he was called to action there in the playoffs.
DeSmith's been fine. I just think if you're going to play Vegas in the first round, like you need Demko.
Yeah. He'd definitely be total brain fart. I was halfway through the sentence and it just left me. Oh boy.
Well, on that note, Bruce, should we vacate the premises or what?
Call it a night.
Let's call it a night.
Alrighty, folks. Thanks for listening. Check out our podcast coming out on late Sunday, early Monday morning if you're making it to the next round of the fantasy playoffs. I'm probably not going to be there, but I'll be doing the podcast, so you want to listen to it.
There you go.
All right, folks.
Take care.
Good night.